In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.
Amen.
I have just a few things to mention to you today. And that is how much it is my honor and blessing to celebrate liturgy today with Father George and his team. Two weeks ago, he sent, because we're in touch maybe two or three times a day. And if we're not, we think something is wrong. And he sent me a picture when Father George Egelet was here. And I emailed him back and I said, "You look like Patriarch George the First with all your surroundings. You are so blessed to have a man like Father George." He is, in the gospel today, he typifies, incarnates, and lives the words of Jesus. For when he was a young boy, when they said, "Many are called, but few are chosen," he was one of the few that was chosen. And at a tender age, entered the Bellarmine Seminary, where he met some of our great church leaders today. When you walk into this beautiful basilica, you feel immediately that you're in the kingdom of God. Because heaven and earth kiss one another in this church. Pope Francis once remarked that the Orthodox Church is the last church left that has a transcendent mystical liturgy. And part of it is because of your priest, who in himself embodies what a true shepherd is, and secondly, made sure that his legacy here in Livonia would be the temple of God, befitting all of you who come to worship and to pray and sense that you are standing before the very throne of God. He is one of the few that is chosen, because I call him Bakhtar Livonia. He has put his fingers in every civic duty that he could possibly uncover to earn the respect of the wider community. It would be much easier for him just to celebrate liturgy, namalwaza, and go home. But Father George has an outstretched arm and hand to uplift people, whether they are Christians or not, and for the larger community of Livonia, he has made a pristine name for himself in your church. I live in Tucson. I retired in Tucson, yani, and I'm living there. And some people are from Detroit. And the minute you mentioned the basilica, their eyes light up and they say, "Yes, we know Father George and we love this church." So he has left an indelible mark in this community. And I think that there's no words that are possible to say thank you, Father George, because he has done an outstanding ministry in this parish and in the wider community. A long time ago, I was diagnosed with metastatic colon cancer. And after the doctors left, and they came really late, Who was the first person I called from my hospital bed in Montreal. I was in Montreal for 40 years before I retired. I called Father George. I kept him on the line for probably an hour, then he began passing the phone to everybody that was at your party, your New Year's party that you had here. And that phone call and his care for me as his brother, I'm sure was an important factor in my recovery. We went to Lebanon together on several occasions, one of which was after receiving so many thousands of refugees, we received the Order of the Cedars from the president. And he and Father Ruffin came with me because I could not at all feel that I could do this all by myself. I needed my precious brothers with me. We went when Bishop Dimitri was consecrated as a bishop. We've traveled across this country at conventions, lectures, symposia, and you'd always see Father George and I standing together with great gusto and laughter, because this man has a great deal of joy in his heart.
Preach the gospel, please. Forget about me.
I have to talk about you.
No, please.
Please. Leave me alone. I got the pulpit now. Rahod. No, I don't do this. I would never do it very often. But I do think that I have this opportunity right now while I'm here to say to Father George how proud we are of him and his family and of this parish and of the great work he has done. And I would ask everybody to stand and chant for him, God grant you many years. May the Lord our God grant Father George and his family peace, health, and prosperity, and many years. Well, he symbolizes what is in the gospel. You know, I don't know if I have to preach on the gospel or not, because he lives it every day. Like so many young people, and I saw so many beautiful altar boys, that many young people think about being a priest, and then after they grow up, they change. But the priesthood is a great and noble, I don't want to say the word profession, because we're not lawyers or doctors. It's a calling. It's a special calling. But every Christian is called the same way. We are all called in the same way as our priests are. You know, when you are baptized, the priest puts a cross on you and he says, whosoever wishes to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. And most of us wear that cross our entire lives, because it symbolizes who we are and the journey that we are to take. Sometimes it's an arduous journey. Sometimes we undergo sorrow. Sometimes we experience great joy. But we are the same person who has the same calling. Remember the words at a baptism. As many of you have put on Christ, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Antum aladin. We are clothed with Christ at our baptism. We wear it as a garment of righteousness. Our spirituality is a journey through the vicissitudes of life. We experience wonderful things and sometimes not so wonderful. But what gives us the courage to continue going? It's our faith. It's what holds us together is a faith that we have been imbued with. We of our church are the original followers of Christ, the Church of Antioch. We are Antiochians. And we have this great blessing to be a part of this great church today. Now, there are many temptations that would like to divide our church. You see what's happening in Syria, for example. Shubi Hazan. I can't even listen to the news anymore because of these poor people that are torn apart and torn away from their families. And yet, all of our good Christians would rather be a martyr than to convert to another religion. Many of them could have been saved. Many could have been saved. But they wouldn't. They refused. The church today in the Middle East reminds me of the early church that we studied in the seminary when the church was persecuted by the empire. And so too they are being persecuted again just for bearing the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have that problem in North America. You're able to proudly say, I am an Orthodox Christian. I lived in Canada for 40 years, and I saw an evolution that took place in Canada. Today, you cannot wear any religious symbol in public. You're punished, you're fired. If you're a teacher, or if you work for the government, and you wear a salib, this absolutely, it's anathema. It's against everything that the government now. They've taken the crosses down from the hospitals. They've taken the holy pictures out of the hospitals and of the schools. There's no longer any religious teaching in any of our schools. They call it now moral education. What is the effect of this? It gives us as parents sittos and jindos and shmeen to give our kids the milk of faith, halib al-iman. Our kids need to have, because our parents, all of you that are here today, and thankfully you're here today, are the first images that kids have of God. And it's important that we, with joy, give our kids the faith. If you close your eyes and think back at the turn of the century, in the 1900s, when my jiddo and sitto came to this country, and so many of your forefathers came here with what a frate bajaibton, not a penny in their pockets. And what did they do first? They built churches. They took homes, factories, schools, and turned them into church. Now the priests of those communities that they brought from the old country were not theologians by any means. My priest in Syracuse, New York was a barber, but he had the voice of an angel and the faith that was unbelievable. Our forefathers in this country planted the seeds of orthodoxy, so now today we are a thriving church in North America. Now we do not have any of the problems that the early settlers had when they came to North America. Just one little story. there was a small group of people that had the keshi. They were going from place to place outside of Montreal. And it started snowing like it did today here. And they got cold, and they were hungry, and they were tired. So they knocked on they were really deep, deep Orthodox. So they knocked on the door to see if the lady would let them in. And she peeped through the door like this. She said, "No room." And the guys looked at each other. "Kif hi ta'raf anna room?" How did she know anna room? They underwent such terrible sacrifices to make our church strong in North America and to pass it on to their children. And we find increasingly that our younger generation are not as faithful as their parents or their grandparents. Bishop Michael once said to me, "You know, Abuna, people come to church to match, hatch, and dispatch." And in many ways, I found that terribly true in Montreal. I think we have a lot to do, a great task, and it's on our shoulders. As parents, grandparents, sittos and jiddos and tetas, by whatever name you're called, to inspire our youth to follow the path of Jesus Christ. It takes a great deal of energy and a great deal of grace. You have the grace, you have the energy. Today we celebrate the liturgy now. This is the ultimate banquet on earth in which we receive Jesus Christ. You're all invited to this banquet, and so are your children, because this banquet represents the eternal banquet in the heavenly kingdom before God. And when they sing, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, holy, holy, holy," we are elevated and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Let us pray. Coming to the banquet today, you will be among the few. And Jesus will say, "Come. Come. Many are called, but few are chosen. Be the few that are chosen to walk in the footprints of faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ." This is our prayer. This is our hope. This is all that is in this church that elevates us to a new level of spirituality and faith. We feel again that heaven and earth kiss one another in this church. And I pray your souls will be kissed by the Holy Spirit when we do the consecration and you follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen.